On page 6, on the left-hand side, all the way on the left-hand side, Kol HaLeidah Shemashiach Nishpas Mirus. We were talking last week about this Bechina, this aspect of Yosef HaTzadik inside each and every one of us. We were talking about the Milchamas and the value of the struggles, the values, the value of the Milchama, that a Milchama, that fighting for things that are important in our Avodas Hashem is not a B'deavid, it's not something which Hashem doesn't want, it's not a sign of our weakness, other, but just the opposite. That's exactly what Hashem's Baruch wants of us, is the tachlis of our lives. And we were learning about how in the Geula from Mitzrayim, Yosef HaTzadik and Yehuda, our great warriors, were present. Yosef HaTzadik, the bones of Yosef, the Kriyas Yamsuf, and Yosef is that quality, that koyach of Mashiach ben Yosef. And then Yehuda is Haisa Yehuda Lakatsha of Yisrael Mam Shalaysav, is the koyach of Yehuda, the Milchamas of Yehuda, which of course is Mashiach ben David. And we were talking about the inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef in each and every one of our lives. Yosef HaTzadik, Chazal tells us, was Mekadesh Shemayim B'Seisa. He sanctified Hashem's name in a very hidden and personal and private way. And we were talking about those quiet, hidden struggles of a person. Yosef HaTzadik in the house of Potipharah. He never dreamt that this was going to be something that was going to be written up in Chumash and all of us are going to be talking about it. All he knew was that he had a situation on his hands and he was able to raise himself to that level of Vayonas Vayetze Achutza. And he ran away from it. He was Mizgabra on that Nisayin and he ran from the home and he became Yosef HaTzadik. And we spoke about this Koyach of Yosef HaTzadik as the great weapon that Hashem has given us to be able to overcome those nisyanos, to overcome those temptations that take place in hidden, private, personal ways in life where nobody knows and nobody's watching, only between us and Hashem is Baruch. And inside each and every one of us, since the Jewish people are the She'eris Yosef, we are the people of Yosef HaTzadik, we are the children of Yosef HaTzadik, in each and every one of us there is this koyach musta, there is this hidden koyach of tzaddik, of the tzaddik, that gives us the ability to fight these wars. So at the end of page 6, which is Kol HaLeidah Shel Mashiach Nishpas Mirus. Of course, anybody who studies the history of Mashiach ben David must look very, very carefully into the entire story of Rus, since the Shoyrish of David HaMelech, the root of David HaMelech, was in this story of that great person of Rus who was able to overcome everything that was in her way, and she was able to stay with Naomi, and from that would come forth Mashiach ben David. So Reb Tzvi Meir taught Kol HaLeidah Shel Mashiach Nishpas Mirus, the entire koyach to give birth to this koyach, to this quality of Mashiach ben David within us comes from Rus. Shemimeni yotze David HaMelech, Shivo Lakadosh Baruch Hu b'shiris v'sishbach. As Chazal tell us that the name Rus is connected to the word liravos, which means to satiate, to fill. When somebody is thirsty, l'man ravos hatzmeya. It means to when somebody is thirsty and is able to quench his thirst. So David HaMelech is named after, rather Rus is the root of David HaMelech. Rus is l'ravos, which means when somebody is thirsty, to give that person, to quench the person's thirst. David HaMelech who comes from Rus would be such a person who would be able to quench Kivyachal Hashem's thirst for song and for praise. So Rus is the mother of royalty. She's the Eim HaMalchus. And she was Zoyche in her lifetime, in her old age, to sit on the throne next to her great-great-grandson, to sit next to David HaMelech. So if we want to understand where did David HaMelech's Malchus come from, where did his Koyach of Milchama, where did that ability that he had to constantly fight Hashem's Baruch's wars. And the wars that David HaMelech fought, of course, were not only on the battlefield, were not only with the Plishtim, the tzaddikim and chazal tell us in many places that when you and I, when we say Tehillim, when we read Tehillim, and we read about all the wars, the milchamas of David HaMelech, the ikkar of those milchamas were not the ones that were fought with swords and with horses on the battlefield, but those are the milchamas that take place in our lives. And that's why all of us can relate so much to Tehillim, because we feel that David HaMelech himself went through unbelievable struggles, and that he was giving us a way to be able to contend with these struggles of life. And all of this comes from Rus. Mimeni yotza kol malchus beis David, Mashiach ben David. Everything comes from Rus. Hakol nimshach v'nishpa mihavoyda kadosh shel Rus. So what was the essence of Rus? What was the nekud of her greatness? Shahoy l'matzovim shel nefilis v'yiridis. Rus lived through a time of unbelievable nefilis and yiridis. We can't even imagine. Here is a woman that came from a palace. A woman that came from that place of Moab, from wealth, from Kavod, Kavod HaMalchus, she had everything in the world. And we meet her in the Megillah, having to go out to the fields and depend on others, and being alone with her mother-in-law in a strange place, and so on. The entire Megillah is Megali, it reveals the greatness of Rus, that emerges dafke from the terrible, terrible yiridus and the nefilus that she went through in her personal life, and that the Jewish people were experiencing at that time in our history. Matzavim shel milchamos. It was a matzav. She lived through matzavim of milchamos, of wars, shel richuk, of being distanced, of feeling nothing, of feeling pushed away. This was a giyaris, and to begin with, before she was misguided, before she converted, I'm not going to discuss now, it's a major topic among the Mepharshim, exactly at what point did she convert. But everybody knows it's hard enough for us, certainly for a woman that was not part of Klal Yisrael, and that she was misguided. Ad kedei kach shafilu she'arpa gam kin ha'isa b'madrega gedolah ma'od. Orpah was also originally on a great exalted level. Afterwards, when she left Naomi, she descended. But initially, she was on a great level as well. But when things became really miserable and there was no hope, at that decisive moment of their lives, Orpah, as her name indicates, turned the other way. From the word Oref, right? She turned her back to Naomi and on Beis Lechem and on the whole future of Malchus Beis David. She turned the other way. And at that moment, Verus Dovka Ba, and Rus remained attached. And she remained attached in such a way, Elokayach Elokai, Amech Ami, Elokayach Elokai, Basha Talini Alin, where you sleep, I will sleep, where you go, I will go. Elokayach Amech Ami, your peoples, my people, Elokayach Elokai, which according to the Gemara is the process of her conversion. That those words were the process of actually of her conversion. So at that, all of us, it's not so hard to be from and to do the right things in a good matzav, at a time of Aliyah. But when it comes to that time of Rechuk Noira Kazeh, of terrible Rechuk, of feeling terrible darkness and distance, Azai Lo Yochla Lamed Kenegdai, Orpah could not withstand that test. Ultimately, Orpah failed. And as a result of her failure, she would have a descendant who would wage a war against David HaMelech, because the descendant of Orpah was Goliath, who would fight against Malchus Beis David, against David HaMelech. Aval Rus lo hibit al shum davar. Rus didn't look at anything. Rak zaka, she screamed out, "Be'asher tamusi amus v'shama kaver." If it means that, I will die where you die, and I will be buried together with you. Rak hamoves yafrid. Only death can come between us. In other words, there's nothing that's going to stop me. I'm going to continue. Kol mahus ha'isa ein shtik mis ametzes, as it says in the pasuk, that even though Naomi tried to talk her out of the whole project of Geirus and was trying to convince her to return to her homeland, to return to the palace, to return to her father, But the pasuk says she was misametzes, which, as you all know, the Gemara learns from here, and this is the din in Shulchan Aruch, that we have to try to talk a potential convert out of converting. We're not trying to enlist anybody. Adrab, we talk to the person, to that person who wants to convert, and we say, why do you want to do that? To be a Jew is difficult. Besides the physical difficulties that were despised and hated among the nations, there are all the spiritual milchamas that your entire life is going to be a milchama. If you were to remain a guy, you wouldn't have these milchamas. You'd be able to enjoy and to do what you want. And now every single step along the way is a milchama. It's a milchama. It's a war. It's a struggle. And it says that her response to Naomi was, Vehimis ametzes, that she strengthened herself, and she became even stronger with each discouraging word that Naomi spoke. Ruth was misametzes. She strengthened herself in the milchama. V'davke mehavayda hakadosha v'chaviva hazu, and from this precious avaydas Hashem that's called misametzes, when things are not going well, when things are terrible, when you feel that everything is dragging you away from Hashem. And davka then vehimis ametzes. This avoid of misametzes is kedosh and chaviva yotze David Melech. From this, David Melech comes into the world. David Melech comes into the world from such an unbelievable avoid. He said yotze Mashiach ben David. From this comes Mashiach ben David. Next page. Because when a Jew begins to fight the Milchemes Hashem, as Hashem is Baruch Megala by Koiches Nistarim, when you begin to be a fighter, then Hashem reveals inside of you Koiches Nistarim, hidden Koiches that you never knew that you had. Koiches that you never knew that you had. And we spoke about this. When we hear the stories, when we read about what we hear from our parents, and we read about the Nisyanis, the Milchamas that took place during the war, and what it meant to try just to stay alive, to survive. So I know I've always grown up feeling that Hashem Baruch had Rachmanis, because I would never manage a day. I couldn't manage a day in that situation. I would never have managed. And what my father went through, and my mother went through, and many of your families went through, so I can't imagine that I would have the koyach to be misametz, to be able to deal with such milchamas, to deal with such struggles, to deal with your family being killed before you, and your brothers and sisters, everybody being taken away from you, and everything that they were going through, and to be able to be misametz just to have the strength to live another day. Well, the teretz is, if we're only allowed to speak about, we can't understand the greatness of these people, but What Rav Tzvi Meir is explaining is that it says in the Sfarim that when a person enlists, when a person decides that he wants to fight, he wants to be in the milchama, then at that moment Hashem is megala, Hashem reveals within this person koiches that he never knew that he had. And my father always told me that he never thought that he had such koiches either. And he tells me, if you had to, you would, just like I did, you would also do. I said, no, you know, I'm a baby. I'm raised in America. It's a different kind of a life. So you were raised, as my father said, I wasn't raised in a particular hardship. I was raised in a comfortable family. It wasn't particularly difficult in my family situation. You do what you have to do. A person who wants to be in the who wants to fight in the milchama discovers within himself Kaychis that he never ever imagined that he had. Kaychis nistam shema ilam leichoshev leyada shein nimtsoim bekirba. He never ever thought, he never imagined that he has such kaychis. Zo ha kaychis shal malchus shal Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David shein nimtsoim besol kol echem Yisrael. These hidden kaychis, these unbelievable, tenacious, warrior-like kaychis that you and I have, come from Malchus Beis David, Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben Yosef. Shall yodam nuchelis chazik oid v'oid b'melchamas Hashem. That give us the koyach to fight more and more in the melchamas of Hashem. He didn't discuss here yet the difference between the koyach of Mashiach ben Yosef in us and Mashiach ben David. With that, Chazal tell us that Yehuda was Mekadei Shem Shemayim begolui. You remember we spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Yosef HaTzadik was Mekadei Shem Shemayim. He sanctified Hashem's name. He fought his war in a very hidden and private place, in a house, in that place of Potiphar, and in his own private struggles of Mitzrayim. Whereas Yehuda had to admit publicly, he had to admit publicly to, on his level, to what happened with Tamar. That was something which was unbelievably humiliating and degrading for Yehuda. He didn't talk yet about this type of a milchama that takes place more in a public way. David HaMelech's milchamas also, David HaMelech's bizyonis were very, very public, were very publicized. Ad kedei kach, that many of you know, that there was a tremendous movement within Klal Yisrael among Gedolei Yisrael, many of the Gedolei Yisrael, not even to allow David HaMelech into Klal Yisrael as a legitimate Jew, because of certain questions in his yichus that we're not going to go into right now, but you're familiar with, you know, that there are questions in David HaMelech's yichus. There were many in Klal Yisrael who felt that David HaMelech b'chlal doesn't belong in Klal Yisrael. He's not a part of Klal Yisrael. And David HaMelech lived in a constant state of rejection, even when he was older. As we know from Tehillim, and many of the Mefarshim in Tehillim, and from Chazal, that throughout his life, there were those who were bringing up the subject of his questionable yichus, of whether or not he really is a full-fledged Jew. Allah has come of a kama. Who made you into a king? And where do you think you come to be a king? From your father's side, you have such, from Boaz, you have a yichus like this. But there are great, great, great questions about the whole mitzias of who you are. And David HaMelech in his own family, as you know, was not fully accepted. In his own family, for reasons we're not going to go into right now. This is the capital that we're reading, L'David Hashem Ari V'Yishi, that we're beginning tomorrow. Mitzvah, that we begin the second of Chodesh Elul, the Dovr Hashem Ari V'Yishi, and if you read the capital, Imtachan Alay Machna Lo Yira Libi, all of David HaMelech's life was filled with milchamas, very public wars. He fought in the open. Imtachan Alay Machna Lo Yira Libi, my heart won't be afraid, and the milchamas that he had to just be a part of Klal Yisrael. Lo Yira Libi, Imtachan Alay Milchama. I'll talk more maybe on Shabbos about that. This was the life of David HaMelech. And the whole capital, the loneliness of David HaMelech. And that's he cried out, Al taste panecha mimeni. Hashem, don't hide your face from me. As Rossi Hayisa, you're the only one that's helped me. And then he goes on to say, Ki avi v'imi azavuni. My father and my mother have left me. Vashem Yasveni and so on. Kavil Hashem. Chazav Yamitzebecha, but Kavil Hashem is the whole life of David HaMelech is Milchamas. And that's the whole Sefer Tehillim. And David HaMelech, therefore, David HaMelech is teaching us, Rav Tzimei doesn't go into it really right now, it does later on, further ahead, but we're not really going to get there this summer. The difference between Yosef HaTzadik is Yosef HaTzadik's milchama is such a milchama not to fail. In other words, Yosef HaTzadik ultimately succeeded in running away. Vayonis Vayetze. The greatness of Yosef HaTzadik is that koyach that we have to be victorious in the milchamas. I would say that David HaMelech's milchamas, the greatness of David HaMelech and that he bequeathed us, is that how does a person act after it seems to him that he's failed miserably? That's the difference in Yosef HaTzadik, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Yosef HaTzadik didn't fail, Lamaisa. He didn't fail. And his milchama was not to fail, and he was successful. And that's something which is very, very encouraging to a person. And all of us know that when we're able to be victorious, we feel good, and that motivates us to go on. The greatness of David HaMelech, I mean, it begins with Yehuda, and Yehuda, again, we're not talking about a narrow level, God forbid, we don't understand. But only, you know what, from Chazal, and what we learn in Chumash, but Yehuda was after the Maisa. Or something happened with Yehuda, on his level. Something happened. Because the Maisa, Yehuda did go with Tamar. Something happened. On his Madrega, something went wrong. After the Maisa, you know how you and I feel after a horrible failure when you hit a place where you never imagined you could have fallen to such a place. Every ounce of strength is sucked out of you. You lose your will to fight. You lose your will to fight. God forbid, in the hospital, somebody's in the hospital and they lose that koyach alechima, the ability to fight. Yehuda's greatness was that after he failed on his madrega, after he failed, he picked himself up again. And he started again. Yehuda. It seems to me that that's the inyan of Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David is not so much how do we succeed in preventing the enemy from infiltrating into our lives. That's Yehuda HaTzadik. There's another character that we have of Mashiach ben David, of what do we do once the enemy is inside and once we've been beaten and knocked down and kicked and stomped upon? Do we lie there and give up? Or David HaMelech Hashavi Yipol Tzadik V'kam? Or the Milchama continues after the Nefila, after one's failure. Again, I'm there, Madrega. And that's the Koyach of Mashiach ben David. Yehuda admits his mistake. Tzad kamimeni. And from that honest way of confessing and admitting his mistake, he was able to build again the koyches of milchama. And Hashem reassured him that if you try, I'll be with you again. And try again. It's the inyan of Yehuda to confess. David's name has in it the letters of Vidu. Of course, David himself means to confess. Chatosi l'Hashem. David HaMelech is the koyach of having failed, again, on his madrega. We're not allowed to say, because I'll say that David HaMelech, we don't understand his mistake. But on his madrega, what we learn in Navi is that he failed. On his madrega, that the Navi came and told him he failed. Something went wrong on his madrega. And David HaMelech is able to admit. And David HaMelech is able to say, "Help me, Hashem. Hayreini Hashem da'kecha, unecheni bayrach misho faket. I don't know what to do. I need your help, Ana Hashem. I need your help. I don't know what to do." I mentioned to the men on Shabbos we were learning Maral that I might have. I'm sure you've heard this. It's a famous thing that once the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael Schus Yagei went by one of the Yom Tovim before davening, he turned around and he said. He said to the Chassidim, the thousands of Chassidim there in Yerushalayim, the Beis Yisrael said that whoever has Kavanah by Ana Hashem, will be zeichet to gevaldige Yeshuas and Refuas. Will be zeichet to gevaldige big things if he has Kavanah in Halal as Yontif, by Hal to say Ana Hashem. But Kavanah, with a lot of intensity, so you could imagine. When it came to Ana Hashem Hashim, I was screaming. The whole Bis Medrash was going to fall down. Ana Hashem Hashim, the Rebbe promised. Refuz and Yeshuas. And he spoke very little. He turned around, he said such a thing. So everybody's screaming, Ana Hashem Hashim. And everybody had such an aliyah. And after davening, the Rebbe turned around again. He said, Chab gemeint, Ana Hashem ken yavdecha, and yavdecha ben amasecha. I wasn't talking about Ana Hashem Hashiana. I was talking about Ana Hashem, please Hashem, I'm your servant. I'm the son of your maid servant. Ana Hashem kani avdecha, ani avdecha b'na pitach l'med Hashem Yisbach, help me, open up, this is holding me back, I want to serve you. That's the Ana Hashem I was talking about. Everybody screams out, Ana Hashem Hashiana, help me. But Ana Hashem, that I want to serve you and help me serve you. The Rebbe said, that's what I was talking about. To scream out that and to ask to be an Eved Hashem, to be in the Milchama. Davenel's greatness was, what do you do after you fail? And the Tzaddikim from Lechavish and from Slonim said that a person who doesn't know how to get up after he's done a terrible, terrible aveir, chas v'shalom, who doesn't get up, who's not able to get up and scream out and to say, Ana Hashem kani avdecha, that person hasn't even crossed over the threshold of the Baal Shem Tov, he said. Doesn't know b'chlal what it means to be a chassid, an emes a chassid. Hasn't touched the edge of the Baal Shem Tov's coat. That the ikur chassidus that a person has to know that despite whatever has happened, and despite all of the failures, that you're still in the war, to be in the milchama. That karech that we have is the karech of Mashiach ben David, that comes to us from David and Melch, and it goes back to Rus, and Rus lost everything in her life. She came to Beis Lechem, what did she have? Grunge. And she didn't give up. Vehimis ametzis. Those two words, vehimis ametzis. And look, here you have a wonderful thing. Most of Tanakh is written in the mail, and here is special for you. It's in the Nekeva, vehimis ametzis. So you could think of that in davening, and you could think of those two words in your Avodas Hashem, vehimis ametzis. And to ask yourself, ha'im animis ametzis, am I strengthening myself? Vehimis ametzis. Now Rav Tzvi goes on to show us, as I mentioned to you last week, is a new way of looking at Kriya Shema. And this is the essence of our lives, because Kriya Shema is all we're about is Kriya Shema. That's what everything is Kriya Shema. And we've been saying it since we're in this world. And we oftentimes, like those things that we say all the time, we don't think really about what they mean, what the words mean. And here, Rav Tzvi on a very simple level speaks about Kriya Shema. But it's going to help us have wonderful, wonderful kavanas, what to think about during Kriya Shema, especially during Elul and Tishrei, what we could focus on, and on Kriya Shema Shal Hamita, Kriya Shema at night, Kriya Shema when we go to sleep, especially. But it's for Kriya Shema morning and night. So he continues Ice Tess on page 7. Echad me'arifanim ha'gedolim shal yodim yochol kol echem yisrael ha'kir li'akeres gadol ha'erech v'es achshivis v'achavivis shal kol milchama. One of the ways that a Jew can begin to appreciate how precious every war is and all of our struggles are is why they have mitzvah kedosh shal kriya shema, is through the holy mitzvah of Shema. B'chol mitzvah mishpi Hashem is baruch ha'karech shal ner mitzvah. Certainly every mitzvah that we do is a candle that warms us and gives us strength. Every mitzvah helps us. Shabbachol pam shehu the oisus a mitzvah haris a klivet sinel hamshach ides oisus a skulus a kedushas a tzumas b'lishir b'lisayf. Any time we do any mitzvah, it draws into our lives tremendous light and tremendous holiness. After the brackets, ubechol yom mashpiyah shemaz baruch peis kim a mitzvah oisus chadoshes v'ashpos chadosh b'lishir b'lisayf. And each day, any mitzvah that we're doing, Hashem infuses into us new kaiches, unbelievable kaiches of kedusha and all kinds of good things. Every mitzvah is different. No two mitzvahs are the same. And now we're going to learn to understand what happens when we say Kriya Shema. What is Kriya Shema all about? What does it do for us, Kriya Shema? What's amazing to begin with about Shema is the amount of words. Kriya Shema has in it 248 words. That number, of course, is very significant. We're all familiar with that number because we know that there are Ramach Evarim, the 248 limbs of a person, which correspond to the 248 positive mitzvahs, the Ramach Evarim. So he says, Bein shel shachris, bein shel avis. When a person is zeichet to say the 248 words of Shema, whether in the morning or at night, shel karbonis v'kriya Shema, we also have a kriya Shema that we say in the morning by karbonis. Some women say that, some don't. That's by lo'ilim yehi adam, yirei shemayim b'seisa. Over there, there's also, pamayim b'chol yoyim, is Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKinu Hashem HaChad. Or kriya Shema shel amita. So at most, the times of Shema in the day are Kriya Shema of the morning, Kriya Shema before Pesukei Dezemer in the Karbanos, again mostly that's for the people who are in Shul, then there's Kriya Shema of course in Davening, and then there's in Shachris, and then there's the Kriya Shema for those who are saying Marv, and then there's the Kriya Shema Alamita when we go to sleep. The Kriyishmas are not repetitious. Each Kriyishma is something new, and each Kriyishma gives us new kaiches. We're going to focus now on one of the amazing things that Hashem gives us as a result of our Shema. When we say Shema, Hashem gives us something. Hashem gives us in Shema more than any other part in davening. During Shema, He gives us what? To recognize the greatness of our milchamas. To give us strength for our milchamas. That's why there are 248 words, which Chazal tell us, and there's a very big inyan in the Zohar Kaddish, a very, very big inyan in the Zohar Kaddish. Zohar Kaddish shel vayikach roimach biyadai. It says by Pinchas, vayikach roimach biyadai, that weapon that we have, the roimach, that gives us the spear, that gives us the koyach to fight. It means the ability of a person to fight the Muhammad is the roimach, the spear. That roimach, the Zohar Kaddish tells us, is really in the hands and in the mouths of each and every Jew. In the 248 tevis, in the ramach tevis, the 248 words of Shema. That's vayikach roimach biyado. It's the most powerful weapon that a Jew has to fight in the milchamas. Yesh l'zakeich shel roimach, shel cherev. The spear, the sword of a Jew is the 248 words of Shema. You might recall that we spoke about Sehi Lochem Ba'amalek Machar, that the first war that we had with our greatest enemy was with Yeshua, was in Parshas Beshalach, where it says in Torah, Sehi Lochem, Hashem's Baruch told Yeshua, Moshe told Yeshua, you're going to go lead the war against Amalek Machar, tomorrow. Machar, tomorrow is also the letters Roimach, Reish Mem Ches. Also, Reish Mem Ches is Machar, which teaches us that ability that a person has to go beyond today till tomorrow, even though you feel like you can't. You feel like you can't make it. Yet you feel like you can't do it again. You can't go weiter. You're stuck. The Roimach of a Jew, the 248 words of Shema, is the Roimach, that weapon that gives us the ability to go from today, from Hayyim, where we feel we've lost, we feel that we're flat on our backs, and to get up and start again, Machar, tomorrow. And that's the Milchama with Amalek. Say he lochem ba'amalek, say is Machar. Where we find, as I mentioned last time in Megillas Esther, the word Machar over and over. Machar kedos Hayyim. You remember when Esther Hamalka, when the king said, when the king asked her, what is it you want? What is it you're asking for, right? And we know that the king means the king of all kings, asking every one of us, what do you want? So remember that she said, of course, she asked, the ikar of what she asked for was, she asked the king that mochar should be kadosh hayom, that tomorrow give me the strength that I had today. Meaning that just as you gave us permission to kill our enemies today in the war, mochar should be Kedos Hayyim, that tomorrow give us again the strength. Kedos Hayyim. This is the koyach of milchama, of mochar, of roimach, that it should be the ability to fight there too. It's against Amalek, of course. That's what Esther Malka was asking for. Ma bakashosech, ma sheilosech. This is what we're saying in L'dovet Hashem. Achas sha'altim yeis Hashem. What does a Jew ask Hashem for? Achas sha'altim yeis Hashem. What do I want? What am I asking you for? The good thing that I'm asking you for is what David Melch is asking in this capital, that he's asking for the strength to be able to fight against his enemies. And that Hashem's Baruch should help him, even though he feels so alone. That Hashem's Baruch should help him. This is the inyan of Machar Kados Hayyim, that I should be able to again start again tomorrow. That I should be able to start again tomorrow. And that has to do, of course, with the roimach. That is the weapons. Third line. Zeh kli zayin shlo. That is our weapon. Ayidei zeh onu mekablum kreches atzum luchol nuchemes Hashem. Kriya Shema gives a Jew the tremendous kreches to fight these milchamas. If we would take Kriya Shema seriously, we're going to learn a lot about it. If we would take Kriya Shema seriously and really think about it, and we would ask Hashem's Baruch to help us to say Kriya Shema properly, then we would have tremendous kaiches to fight the milchamas of Hashem. Zo ha-kaich shel Avraham Avinu. This is the kaich of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham, of course, means Ramach, because Avraham is gematria. Avraham equals 248, which is the gematria Ramach. Avraham's name is Ramach. And Avraham's greatness, of course, was that the whole world was on one side and he was on the other side. Avraham ha-Ivri, as we spoke about. Avraham felt the whole world was against him, and the whole world was against him. And Avraham Avinu fought. And his whole life was Muhammad. In his own home. In his own home. He didn't have a happy upbringing. It would certainly qualify now for a dysfunctional home. He came from a dysfunctional home. He came from an idolatrous home. Avram Avinu could have spoken about many different Rosh HaTevis that he had, you know, different things that he grew up with that he had to overcome. And he was able to overcome that because Avram is Ramach. Avram is the Koyach of what? Shashem is Baruch Hishlitoi al Kol Ha'Evarim. Even the name Avram, Avram has not the word Evarim, which means limbs. All of one's limbs, all of one's Koyches, all that you have. Avram equals 248, and there are 248 limbs because Avram, you know, gave all that he could. He was in the Milchama with his heart and soul and with every limb of his body. Kach gam al yidei Kriyashma. So through Kriyashma, the 248 words, Ayde Kriyashma Nishba Koyach Atzum, there's a tremendous Koyach that Hashem gives us through Shema, Shekol Ha'Evarim Yubir Yishus HaShalom, that you should be in control of your body, that your body should not control you, but that you should be in control of your body. Avram is 248 limbs, and it's Avram, is Avram. And Avram was able to have control over his 248 limbs, that his body would listen to his neshama. Not that, God forbid, he would be schlepped along through life, but that he would listen. His body was subservient to that voice inside of him. That's the greatness of Avram Avinu. That what? That one is the balabayas over his own life. That your body is in your rishus, that you have control over your body. Your body doesn't have control over you. And as we spoke about many times, that's on the most simple level, even when we're not talking about avers, even when we're talking about dvarim shel rishus, when it comes to overeating or when it comes to other habits, smoking or biting the nails or whatever it is that a person has, habits, hergelim of the guf, a person has the koyach, a person has the ability to be shoylet on his avarim, to rule over his body. A Jew is not meshubit to his body. A person is shaylat al haguf. A person has the kerch to rule over his body. And that we receive that from Avram Avinu, from the 248 tevas of Shema. Each and every word of Shema is giving us the ability to rule over another part of our bodies. Every word of Shema, we're not Kabbalim here, and therefore it's not permitted for us to talk about inyanim of Kabbalah, but in the swarm of Kabbalah, it's revealed how every single word of Shema, how it connects to a different part of the body. A different koyach that we have. Every word of Shema is a different koyach in the Ramach Evarim of a person. Our eyes, our ears, the ability to say what we want to say. And not to say things and to say, Gevald, what did I say? And to spend the rest of your life trying to explain what you really meant. When you really meant what you said, but now you have to explain to everybody what you didn't, you know, to try to climb out of the mess you got into. And all of these things, and that to do something, why did I do that? I didn't want to do that. And so on and so forth. That shekol eivarim yu b'shusa shel adam, kol mila shel kriyashma m'seveves m'kifu m'chabekes, right? Nemt arum, eivar echad mi'ramach eivarim. Every single word of Shema is surrounding and hugging one of the 248 limbs. It's attached to that part of the body. I remember I heard from my wife's uncle, from Nehemiah, about he was zeich to be in Kfar Chassidim to learn by Rabbi Elia Lapian. You heard of Rabbi Elia? Rabbi Elia was a Malach Hashem Tzvakas. And I remember that he told me that a Kriya Shema by Rabbi Elia Lapian on a Tuesday night in Tevis, you never heard by Ne'ila, such a Kriya Shema, that it would take Rabbi Elia, I don't remember the number that he told me, but it was something like 20 minutes, a Kriya Shema, a half hour on a regular Tuesday night in Tevis, a Shema. And how he said a Kriya Shema. One of the Chavayim was telling me here on Shabbos how the old school and a Rebbe, he lived on the block of the old school and a Rebbe. And they used to, and they couldn't, many times they couldn't get a minyan by Marv, by the school and a Rebbe. They couldn't get a minyan. And he remembers that when the Gabi used to come looking for guys, they used to run away. Because, why? Because he said, but because by the Rebbe, it took Marv, it took over an hour. He said, what am I, crazy? They used to, as soon as they saw the guy with the door open, the guy would walk out, the guys used to scatter. They were playing ball. They used to run, make a run for it. Because if the guy that gets them into the Shkolah Rebbe, it's going to take a marav on a regular, it took an hour. A kriyashma. We have no saga of that. That to appreciate every single word of Shema, what it means and what it does. At Shekol Ha'evim is smalei v'nispag. Imakoyach ha'otzum shel milchama. So that every limb of the 248 limbs is completely suffused with what? With a tremendous koyach of milchama. Of milchama. Of Yosef et Tzadik. Of David HaMelech. Sheyuch ha'lilcha milchemes Hashem. To be able to fight the milchemes Hashem. As a koyach ha'otzum hazeh. The double-edged sword. Chazal tells that when David HaMelech spoke about the double-edged sword, that spear with two edges, is what? Is the roimach of the 248 words of Shema. That's what it means. Roimach kel begroinam. The praises of God, of Hashem, are in our throats. And the cherev, the sword, or the spear of what? Of the 248 words of Shema is in our hands. That's the kerech that Hashem gave us. And then, obviously, when that's combined, when it comes to a man, and that's combined to his tefillin and to his tzitzis, a person, when you have a man who is enclosed, who's wrapped in his talis and tefillin with the shachris, with the 248 words of Shema, it's unbelievable. The levushim, the garments of talis and tefillin, those are the garments of a Jew. The levushim, shaloyishma som is my kriyishma shachris hemiklay zayna kadoshim. Our weapons, hamana de krava. That means that's our protective armor. Those are protect. A person is wrapped in a talus. That's the protective armor. It's film. Those are our weapons, and protects us. Shimaim loichamim milchemes Hashem, and that's how we go and fight the milchemes of Hashem. Obeis hamitzah shel kriyashma nishba miavinu shebeshmaim lo kalechem miyisrael akayach otzum shel Hashem echa. And what it boils down to is that at the time of Shema, Hashem is Baruch, if we think about what we're saying, Hashem is Baruch gives each and every one of us a tremendous koyach to really, really remember that Hashem is one. Hashem is one doesn't mean as opposed to Hashem being two or there being more gods. Hashem is one means, like David HaMelech said, Lo yira libi, right? Im tachane alay machne, that even though an entire camp, meaning if my enemies rises up against me, lo yira libi. In tokum alay mechama, b'zayis ani b'teach. The words, Hashem akino, Hashem echad. When Hashem is brachon, Hashem echad. When that's clear to a person, that Hashem is one, then there's nothing that a person will be afraid of. There's nothing that can harm a person. When that is absolutely clear to the individual. Hashem Echad. Shebekol Hashiva Rikim Ba'ab Haruchis Tamid Yiska Shakol Meshem Zbrach. Of course, the word Echad is a hint to the seven Rikim, the seven levels of the sky, and the four directions. That's the Ches, and the seven skies and earth, and the four directions, which is the Ches and the Dalet, and so on. If a person remembers Yiska Shakol Meshem Zbrach, if a person remembers that everything is Hashem, everything, hakol, everything bakol mikol kol, is Hashem is Baruch. That's what it means, Hashem Echad. V'sakoyach ha'otzum shebechol levavcha. That unbelievable koyach of bechol levavcha, with all of one's heart. As Chazal say, afilo neitelus levavcha. The Chazal don't say in the words, afilo neitelus levavcha, that Tzadikim explain. They said, on bechol nafshcha, afilo neitelus nafshcha, means that even it means giving up your soul, giving up your life to be a Jew. Bechol levavcha means even giving up your heart. That's what the Tzadikim said. What does it mean to give up your heart? It means there are many things that a person loves. There are many things that a person loves. I remember years ago, I was Isaac with a balas shuva. I might have told this to you once. There was this balas shuva who had become with great pain and difficulties, had become religious and had, until that time, led an unbelievably successful career and was very pretty and popular and so on. From the time that she became religious, things were getting more and more difficult. And what was missing most from her life was a husband. And it was terrible, terrible agnes nefesh and tzaras with shidduchim and so on. And the years were going by, and finally there was somebody that was introduced to her. She met at some event or something, and it was gewaldig. Perfect. So he was also about tshuva, wonderful, warm, caring. It was terrific, and they went out, and it was a beautiful thing. It had a sad ending because somebody told them that it's a very chashuv a thing to go into daven by the grave of the ancestors, that to invite them to the wedding. They made a date for the wedding and to invite one's ancestors to the chasana. And he had never been to the cemetery, and he found out where the cemetery was, and he went to the cemetery, and he saw that on the graves of all of his ancestors there were the hands of kahanim. And this girl was forbidden to marry a Kohen. And the end of the story was they couldn't get married. And it's not possible for a person to be masik. How painful that was. And what does it mean when a person says, b'chol levavcha, afil naitlos levavcha? What does that mean to give up your heart for Hashem? To give up one's life, sometimes, we should know from anything bad. To give up one's life, after a person gives up one's life, so he's together with all the tzaddikim. To give up one's heart for Hashem means that when you love somebody or something, and Hashem says you can't have it. That's b'chol levavcha is unbelievable. Last night I was at a chasna in the city and I was talking to a tzaddikus. I don't want to say pratim because I don't want it would be embarrassing for her, but an unbelievable tzaddikus that I was introduced to, who was the derech neis was zoicha to have a child, and the doctors have told her that she can't have another, she should not. She's able to have, but she should not because she's terribly ill with a terrible sickness. And when she had the first child, it brought out the machla, it brought out the sickness in a very, very strong way. And therefore she can't get pregnant again, because that could, God forbid, cause terrible, terrible problems in her life. And I was talking to her, she was crying about, she was saying that she wants more than anything to serve Hashem as Baruch and to have more children and to bring them up the right way and so on and so forth. And it's a pellet because she can really barely move. And I think about how it's so hard for those of us who Hashem is blessed with children and that we're healthy. It's so taxing, it's so difficult, and that's why you walk around there. I'm not blaming anybody, and maybe if I could afford to, I would also have, you know, servants and, you know, people all over. I see them, you know, all over the place. I guess if they're in the city, then nobody knows what to do with them, so they're here too. And again, I'm not blaming anybody, but it's so taxing. There are people that complain to me all the time. I have women in the neighborhood by me that somebody has three children, they're all in school, and there's a live-in maid, and she complains that she can't handle it. It's hard. A perfectly healthy woman, she's not working, and it's difficult because the children are cutting into the person's life. And you know, there's aerobics, and there are things to go to, and different, and friends to meet, and places to go, and shiurim to hear, and good things and not as good things. And the children are staying my life. And I'm sitting there listening to this woman last night, for every single thing in her life that she has to do, any physical thing, she's a young woman, any physical thing that she does comes with such hardships, we're not masig it. And she's crying to me that the doctors told her that she shouldn't have another child, and she wanted me to tell her that she should go ahead, which I didn't. I was trying to give a chizik in her matzav now. So for her to give that up is a b'chol levavcha, afilo noitos levavcha. Her heart is bursting with motherness. She just wants to mother and to have another child and to be a mommy and nacha, a kid, nacha child. And they're telling you she shouldn't. And that she can't. And I was trying to explain to her that your child needs you, the child that you have needs you, and God forbid, if the machla chalila is brought out more than what's going to be for your child. Chalila, chalila. And so, it's a terrible situation. But do we have a hasag what that means? I feel a noitlus lavavcha, to give up your heart to be a Jew. Not to give up your life. You live. but your heart. Because the Baruch Shalom says that, and I tried to explain this, that the halacha says you shouldn't do this now. You have to be careful. So, but my heart, a heart of a person, a Jewish heart is without bounds. And afal pichin, sometimes you have to give up your heart to be a Jew. B'chol levavcha, afil noitos levavcha. And that koyach Hashem gives us, those milchamas in life, Hashem Zbach tests us with those milchamas, afil noitos levavcha, to take away your heart, that even if your heart is taken. What does it mean when you have a God forbid, Hashem Yirachem, when a child dies, a husband, a wife, someone that your whole life is attached to, your whole heart is attached to, and Hashem takes away your heart from you, feel you don't have a heart left, and how could you go on davening, and how could you go on being a Jew, and making Shabbos, and how could you go on? I feel a nightless levavcha. The kaychas that a Jew has to be in this milchama of life come to us, be'ikah from Kriyashma. From there we get the vehemis ametzes of David HaMelech, of Ruas, of Yosef HaTzadik. I feel a nightless nafshah b'chol meidecha b'chol midu midu shumaydid lecha. From b'chol meidecha, Chazal teach us, whatever Hashem serves on your plate, b'chol midu midu, whatever Hashem sends your way, b'chol meidecha means you're in the milchama no matter what comes your way. Good or chalil if it's not good. But it's b'chol meidecha, b'chol midu midu. Whatever, however Hashem is with you, whatever He sends your way, you still love Yahavtas Hashem Elokev. You still love Him and you still serve Him. Chamidu midu shamaydu lecha. Have you maid love Him ma'ayid ma'ayid? You're still able to thank Him. The word ma'ayid means with all that you have. B'chol ma'aydecha. You still are serving Him ma'ayid ma'ayid. Very, very much you still love Him. Shubuchal matzev shavini shabashamayim meniach, I see. Whatever the matzev, whatever situation Hashem Yisbarach puts me in, Tamid Ezka Shahakol Hashem Echad. I remember always Hashem Echad. And that awareness that everything is Hashem, and that my whole tachlis in life is to serve Hashem Yisbarach. It's not a side thing. It's not something extra that I do. This is who I am. All 248 Eivarim. They used to say in the Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch that if you would cut him, blood wouldn't come out, chassidus would come out. A Jew, in his 248 Eivarim, a Jew is a Yid. A Yid. And it's not something that is, I'm a person, and in addition to that, I'm also religious. All of our mistakes, and all of our difficulties, and all of our failures in the milchamas of our lives come from this mistake, thinking that I'm a person, and in addition to that, I'm a religious person. Avram is 248 because it means that you are a Yid. That's all you are. You're a Yid. That's all that you are. In all Ramach Evarim, in all 248 limbs, that's all there is only a Yid. And that awareness comes from the words Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. That's why when we're on a very high level at the end of Yom Kippur and we've separated ourselves a little bit from this world and we've gone through a whole Roshana says Meitshuva, and we come to the last moments of Yom Kippur, we could scream out Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we know it then. It's true that nothing else means anything. Nothing else means anything. What's the difference whether the house looks like this or looks like that? If my child is not living according to the Torah, nothing means anything to me. You have people that live in palaces. There's a person that I know that I learn with. He has a house that's almost as big as half this whole place. I don't mean the shul. I mean the whole place. But Nebuchadnezzar, the children is gefährlich at service. Gefährlich. I mean with Yiddishkeit. Gefährlich. So what does he have? He sits there in that big house and he cries day and night with his wife. Because all that really matters is Hashem Echad. And everything else that you take away from a Jew, that's what it means. That, you know, that the Arba Minim on Sukkos, so everybody knows that the Arba Minim correspond to the body, right? So you know that, everybody knows that the heart is the Esrog, right? And that the and that the lips are the Aravis and the eyes are the Hadassim and the spine is the Lulav. And that's what it means when you take the Abaminim after Hashem Yom Kippur, when it's clear to you that Hashem is one. And there's nothing else in my life. That's why you go into a Sukkah, the Seilud Nehim Nusa. There was a Gerach Chassid during the Milchama. There were those who lived to see this. That, no, something that the Germans, they picked on this Yid. The others, they were all working in this place, and they picked on this Gerach Chassid, and this Yid, and they threw him into a pit that was filled with lime, with poison, and it was burning. It burned his body up. And it says in the Sefer that I read that was the first day Sukkot they did that to him. You know, whenever it was Yontif, the Germans Yimach Shema made the worst Gezeiros Yontif. The Germans always knew the Jewish calendar. They knew even when it was Hashanah Rabbah. If you ask some non-religious Jew in America that never heard of Hashanah Rabbah, the Germans heard of Hashanah Rabbah. They knew every Yontif. And it was always the worst time was Yontif. So this year, they threw him into this lime pit, they stripped off his clothing, and they threw him naked into this lion pit, and it was the first day of Sukkot, that's how he died. And he screamed before he died, what he said was, there were those who heard it. And the Sefer that I saw, he said, today is Sukkot. Listen to this. Today is the first day of Sukkot. He says, my heart is burning. He says, my heart is burning. My heart is being destroyed for you. I don't have an esrog. What am I going to do? But that's my esrog. I'm giving you my esrog. You hear this? My eyes are losing their sight. They're burning. He said, these are my hadassim. I don't have hadassim. My lips are my aravis, and my spine that's being destroyed is the lulav. So then you're going to ask me, Rabbi Shalom, what about this? This is what he said. What about the sukkah? What about the sukkah? He was screaming this out. Oh, where's the sukkah? So listen what he did. He pointed up, and there was coming from the crematoria, there was coming smoke where they were burning Jewish bodies where he was going to be taken to. And he said, that cloud of smoke is the sukkah. And that's how he died this year. Ever has saga what that means. That a person has the kaychus, that the 248 evarim is the of a Jew, the kaychus, that every sinklat smoysay taimarna Hashem mikamoicha. Atzmus Yosef klatz moysay taimarna, with every limb of one's body to be a servant of Hashem is Baruch. That all comes to us from Kriyashma. Tomid Ezkashal call Hashem Echad. And despite everything that happens to me, no matter what, it means also at good times. Then when it's going very, very well, a person can forget Vahafta. I said this a few weeks ago, that when God forbid they're at Tzaris, and they make all kinds of kinusim, they make all kinds of gatherings to say Tehillim, right? They make gatherings, people come together in New York, or here, there, they make, Hashem should only protect us, they make these gatherings for Tehillim. I don't recall any gathering to thank Hashem for good things. I'm not talking about a suicide. I'm talking about a multimedia, all the Jewish newspapers, posters on every single block in Flatbush, Bar Park, Muncie, and the Five Towns. We're all getting together, you know, on Wall Street to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. How come that didn't happen after the Persian Gulf War? How come we didn't all come together? We should have gotten together. How come we didn't get together? I mean, I'm just as guilty as the next person. I didn't have anything special in shul. I don't think we had the shul then yet, but I wouldn't have had. So, How come we didn't have a kinus of a 500,000 Jews to say, Rabbi Shalom, we love you, thank you. But there was no, I mean, maybe there was. I didn't hear of anything like that. That's why that we had a Suda Seidoi here was a special thing to give thanks to Hashem as Baruch. Not only, Vahavta is not only when things are, God forbid, when it's bad, Vahavta, when things are good, but to remember who's the one who gave you that gift and who's the one who took care of you. So Vahavta is to make, that would be something interesting. I never saw it in all the years, that there should be a kingdom, that there should be a gathering of Jews to thank Hashem as Baruch. They make a whole thing for the Daf Yomi, and it's beautiful, and it's a massacre of God, and you have to book years in advance to finish. That's Givaldic. But when something good happens to Klal Yisrael, when there's something good, when that happened, there was an unbelievable galus of Hashem in our lives, that the Arabs, Yimach Shemam, were sending missile after missile to kill Jews. And because of Hashem, we had Nisim in the flies. There was no, to the best of my knowledge, not here. I don't even know if in Eretz Yisrael, maybe in Eretz Yisrael there was some. I don't know. But here there was no kinus. There was nothing that I know about. So devahavta. This devahavta. Zakoyach calls Zakoyach Amisayeya Lilcham Nechemes Hashem. One more paragraph. Chazal Hakadosh Moim Al Masha Kosev Tar Hakadosh Mashiach Milchama Hayenema Lefnei Shahayu Yetsim Lechemes Hashem. We're now learning these parashiyos. We're now reading these parashiyos on Shabbos. There was a special Jew, a Kayim, who had a special job that he was the Mishuch Milchama when we were going into war, in the time. And the time of the Torah, when we were going to war, we would be led by the Meshuach Milchama. That was a Kohen who would call out, "Umach v'Shma Yisrael, atem kreivim hayoyim l'milchama aloy veichem." He would scream out, "Shma Yisrael, you are now Yidden. You are now going to fight a war with your enemies." Chazal tell us that they would all scream out, "Shma Yisrael." The Chizukaisim Shal Yisyaru. The purpose of that Kohen's proclamation was to strengthen us when we were going into war. That's the battle cry of a Jew. Shema Yisrael. V'shiyedu shavinu shvishmaim ha'ilach itanu. To remind us that when we go to war, that Hashem Baruch Hu is going to war with us. V'yisal zem chazal kadeshim sh'shema Yisrael zol kerech shal kriyashma. And Chazal Taka tell us that Shema Yisrael is the kerech of kriyashma. That's what he would say. Shema Yisrael. That would give us the strength to go out and fight milchamas, the war. That is the klei zayin. That is the weapon of the Jewish people, of each Jew. And with that, we're able to fight the milchamas of Hashem. Kol yochid v'yochid fi mashe zoich lashkiya koiches b'kriyashma. Therefore, each person, each individual, in accordance to how much. Depending upon how much he's able to put into his Shema, that whole day he'll have tremendous kaiches. That whole day, as the Krishma at night, which we're going to talk more about, you have kaiches for the entire next day, for the night and the next day. The whole day you'll have Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad will be with you the whole day. You'll be filled with this feeling, this awareness of Hashem Echad. All the gates of your heart, all of your limbs, and your essence. To write them upon the mezuzahs of your house, which means of your body, of your entire life, the mezuzah of your body, the gates of your body, which means the entrances into your body, the eyes. We're now in the parasha of Shaitim Mishaitim Titmacha B'chol Sha'arecha. You have to appoint judges and police officers at the gateways of your body, which means what? Your eyes, the openings, the ears, the mouth, and so on. All of the openings to have what? Through Kriyashma, that you're able to have the mezuzah that protects you by the openings of your body, of your life, of who you are. Elul is the mezuzah of the year. It says in Swam, Elul is when we enter into the new year. We're now entering tonight. Today is Rosh Chodesh. It's Aleph Elul. One of the tzaddik in the Murray 9, the Holy Chernobyl, has said that Elul is the letters Aleph is Aleph Shalom is Hashem. Aleph is always Hashem. Aleph, Lul. What's Lul? Lul, you might have heard, is like a chicken pen or a chicken coop. But lul really means a hole or an opening. That's what the word means, a lul, an opening. So the Maori Naim said that Elul is that time of the year where we're able to make an opening for the Aleph, for the Alufishul Olam. Aleph, lul, an opening for Hashem Yisbarach. It's the time, it's the beginning. It's the time when we're going to out to war. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Tonight, that's where we blow the shofar, like they would blow the chatzaitzus when we went out to war, right? In the time of the Torah, they'd blow the trumpets to go out to Milchama. That's how we go out, that's how we go into Elul. We don't go into Elul depressed or nervous or scared or worried. We go like I spoke about, we're going to learn here also. You go out with a niggin. You go to fight with a Shema Yisrael. That's how we go into the month of Elul. That's when we go into the time of Tishrei. Not, God forbid, depressed, not feeling horrible and bad and miserable and weak and low. Chas v'shol. Because the milchama, to go into the milchama with our Yetzirah, that we should be able to come to the Yom Tovim in a way that we're able to stand in the face of Hashem Yisbarach and to be able to do tshuva in a healthy, in a good and positive way. That's the whole avoid of this time of the year, v'shol v'hafter. It's getting late, so we'll continue with Hashem. We'll continue from over there on page 7 from next Monday night, Mr. Shah.